Tiffany Lankus, welcome back to Press Pass. And you and I are out in the field together. We've been following the new New York State Education Commissioner, Mary Ellen Ilya.
In the field here in Sweet Home, a little bit of a departure from where we usually are.
So much was discussed. She met with the Sweet Home school board members first. She met with parents, and then she met with teachers. We heard a lot about Common Core. We heard a lot about test assessments and teacher evaluations. What are your thoughts of walking away from this right now?
I think she did a really good job framing to those different stakeholder groups the biggest issues and the most controversial issues facing the state right now. I thought she came off as very firm and authoritative, which if you talk to people she worked with in Florida or read any of the media coverage, that's exactly how she was portrayed, and I think what we saw today was her really delivering on the reputation that comes before her.
She talked a lot about giving voice to parents and teachers, and she feels that that's an extreme part of moving things forward across the state.
She did, and we talked briefly off air, too. One of the things, people kept asking her, what's your plan? And her response consistently was, well, I don't have a plan, and if I came and told you what the plan was before speaking with you, you should question that. And I think she has a reputation as being one to reach out and have a lot of community forums, town hall meetings. And I think, you know, from what she's, the tone she set this week, she's living up to that. The union leader in Hillsborough County, I spoke with her the other day, and she had an interesting story. She said it would not be uncommon for Mary Ellen Ilya to go back and reconvene groups of principals if she felt like her message was not getting across and that the point was not clear and that everyone was not on the same page. She'd bring everybody back together, recommunicate, and then send them back into the field to execute.
She certainly talked about she's not afraid to speak up. She's very open about things. And I think that that's how she's going to move all the districts forward.
That certainly seems to be the case. But with that, I think, you know, and we've said this before, she strikes you as someone you can very much see teaching or working in your child's school. And I think the fact that her first priority as education commissioner was to get back here to Sweet Home, we saw in the hallways today, she wasn't even in the school yet, and teachers were greeting her outside. She had people coming up to her whose children she taught, who she worked with. And I think that, you know, I think that shows you that she values that sense of community and school culture.
And she makes sure that she emphasizes she was a teacher.
Oh, right. When she answered, she made it very clear with the press at the end, I'm a teacher, I'm an educator, I'm not a politician. That will be interesting to watch because I think, you know, former commissioners have tried to operate in that role of politician, and, you know, she's clearly not coming at it from that point of view. So it'll be interesting to see how she does interact with Governor Cuomo and the legislature.
Now, an important question you asked her was about receivership for the city of Buffalo for those failing schools. She's not quite ready to commit and make her opinion heard on this yet, but she's going to see it through.
Right. You know, and at this point in time, she has not yet met with Buffalo school officials. She is supposed to be here very soon. I know Regent Catherine Collins said she's putting together an agenda for her to meet with board members, teachers, parents. You know, I think like we saw today, like so many of these other issues, she wants to come and hear from those groups before she starts developing her own plan. This will be new for her. Obviously, this is the first time she's a state commissioner, but I don't believe there's any form of receivership in Florida. So she's kind of moving into an unfamiliar territory on this one.
So she'll be guided by the law of it.
Right. And I think, you know, for all of us here in Buffalo, there's still a lot to be seen about what it means. Will it face a legal challenge? How will this affect contracts with the unions? It did sound, though, like her intention is to help guide the city school district as they figure this out. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see her getting very involved, at least in an advisory role.
And how quickly does that have to be into place? Will that be ready for the new school year?
Well, as of now, Darren Brown is the receiver of those five schools. You know, as far as I've heard, I don't think they've come up with any real specific plans for the coming year. I think the first move for those schools will be to try to make them more into community schools, which in some respects, you know, some of them already are and have a lot of those elements. You know, it's the timing is unfortunate. We don't have have a permanent superintendent in Buffalo, and she's just starting on the job this week. So in terms of even one of the major things that needs to get done is setting, well, what are the growth targets for those schools, and what will the determining factors be in whether they go to an outside receiver?
And you mentioned the interim leadership. We are waiting to see when they start to bring the finalists forward. Now, they're promising that the public will see who they are when they have the finalists selected.
I think that will be the case. You know, we know that they've interviewed some internal candidates. We know that they're planning to bring in a few external candidates. We also know that some of the people who applied for the job have already bowed out. You know, we've talked about the timing before, and every day and week that goes by really kind of works against the district because you're just closer to the new school year.
So ideally, when do we believe the timeline, the time frame will happen that they'll actually select a new school superintendent?
You know, that's a really good question at this point, Eileen, because I think when they started on this process of conducting a search, there were some thoughts that they would have someone picked by July 1st. Obviously, that date's come and gone, and the last I checked, they haven't scheduled people for outside interviews. You're hearing, you know, different points of view from different people, even in the board majority. Carl Paladino's obviously been very vocal in support of Kevin Eberle. Some of the other majority members, including Jim Sampson, have maintained that they want to bring in some of these outside candidates, hear what they have to say, and then make a decision. So, you know, but as we've talked about before, the closer you get to the start of the school year in early September, the more this becomes a difficult situation for the district.
And so bold, Carl put up campaign signs.
He has said he had nothing to do with that, and it's, you know, a group of teachers that's taking credit. But it is a bold move, and, you know, this process gets stranger and stranger, I think, every week, and I can't say I've ever seen superintendent signs go up for a position that's not an elected office, although I did hear that there were similar signs in Hamburg a few years ago.
Well, Tiffany, maybe next time we speak, we will have some new leadership, so we'll talk to you next month on Press Pass. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.